everyone. Welcome to Masterpiece Theater. No, wait, that's not right. Welcome to Android App Addicts, everybody. My name is Mark, and this is the show where we talk about Android apps, not tea and crumpets. Yes, that was a bad intro. I know that. I was trying something new. Don't look at me like that, Eric. That Eric, of course, is Eric, the executive Ardini, who's joining me right alongside of your friend and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing good. I had we got above freezing today, so I spent a couple hours outside and got a bunch of work done because I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this huge house I bought next door to me that it's actually within the next 3 to 4 weeks, it will be demolished and gone. So that's exciting.
So you bought it just to knock it down, or do you have other plans?
Yeah, I bought it to knock it down. I'm going to sell 30 feet of the yard over to the neighbor to the north. That's about it for the plans, I think.
What does that translate to in acres?
30 feet by 129. I don't know. I would say I'm going to sell him a fifth of an acre.
The only thing I can say is buy Grabthar's hammer. What a savings.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I'm sorry. Yippee-ki-yay. I mean, this guy, yes. I'm sorry, was one of the most epic actors around this week.
Because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more.
Yes. Yes. Too funny, too good. Alan Rickman, great in everything I've ever seen him in. And then you have David Bowie, too. So it's the week of bad things happening to entertainers.
And Celine Dion's old man. And literally, I mean old man.
And ready for the worst of the three? Justin Bieber's still alive. Man. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, so the Rocket Man and the best bad guy ever both died. Not the Rocket Man, the Space Oddity.
Yeah,
Rocket Man is a different guy.
Yeah, changes.
So I'm still here, which means I didn't win the 1.5 billion Powerball lottery.
You would have been here anyway.
Maybe you did, and you're anonymous.
Yeah, don't play nonchalant. We know that there was a winner in Tennessee, and you like to drive.
So Georgia is one of those states where you can't collect it anonymously. So I've got this planned, right? So I drive to work every day, depending on traffic, anywhere between 30 and 90 minutes.
See,
and
I drive see what by I mean? I know you like
a lottery
to drive.
Sign every day, right? So I think about these things as I'm sitting in traffic. So the first thing you do is you set up an LLC that you can shelter anonymously. So LLCs don't have to disclose their ownership because they're not publicly held. And then you put the ticket in the name of the LLC, and then the LLC buys you your cars and your boats and whatnot. And the people around you obviously know that yesterday you had a beat-up old Ford and today you have a Ferrari. But, you know, the nutbags don't have to find out. So the first call you make is not to your wife or your best friend or your boss to quit. First call to make is to your lawyer. The second call to make is to your financial planner. And if you don't have one of those, find one fast.
Yeah, you better. I'll just say the one tip I heard, which was the best tip ever, any of these kind of drawings, even if it's just a $1 million, you know, a peddly little $1 million drawing.
Yeah. Only a million.
As soon as you get your ticket, sign the ticket. That is the number one way to ensure that no matter what, if that ticket, you know, is found, you signed it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Right there.
I didn't even know there was a signature spot.
But well, there's not. It doesn't actually mean anything. It's a way to prove that it was yours.
Right. Oh, okay.
But that doesn't stop anyone else from claiming it.
Well, the lottery officials I heard said, if someone brings us a ticket, and typically people sign over top the numbers, so you can't get rid of the signature. If it's somebody's signature on there, we ask the person who brings in a ticket, we need to see your signature. And they said, if it is not a very good match right there, we will not pay the ticket. We will put it in limbo until there's an investigation.
And I'll say right now, if any of you fell for any of the Facebook people saying, if you like my page, I'll split it with you, yeah, or even better yet, I want it, here's a Photoshop ticket, share this, and I'll pick somebody and give you $10 million, you're too dumb to listen to the show. Turn it off now.
There's another one. There's another one. My wife showed me people stupid enough to believe posting that said something to the effect of $1.3 billion split among, yes, 300 million Americans equals something like $4 million each or something.
You've got an order of magnitude problem right there. It's $4.3 a piece.
Or you work for federal government. I don't know. Maybe something like that.
Wow. That was random and circuitous. That's what you get when you bring me onto your show, by the way.
Well, we also get the opportunity to give things away, if I'm not mistaken, Mark.
That's the plan. Yes. Yeah. So we had the Zenfone 6, right? The original 4.3, I think, Android on it. And Dor gave it to me, and I can't use it. And we tried to give it away, and nobody wanted it. So we're giving it away again.
No, it's here's not, the, nobody wanted it. That one person who won it did.
That's true. Yeah. So here's the most democratic way that we've decided to do it. Send an email with a subject line, "I want a free phone," to aaa@podnuts.com. And the one that has the earliest timestamp on it gets a phone.
And yes, if you're watching live, you do get first dibs. So there's some benefit to listening live.
Or if you're a Patreon supporter and you get the feed a day or two early there too.
Yeah, true. Which you will. You'll get it 3 days early. Yeah, 3 days early.
And we will need your address or an address, right? So right. If you're a tinfoil hat guy and don't want anybody knowing where you live, there's no way we can send you a phone.
Right, or we could send it to your LLC you have that's anonymous.
Yes, we could do that. So let's talk about some Android apps, shall we? Eric, kick us off.
All right, I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick this off with, oh my gosh. You know what? Let's go with Dor because I don't have the chat open.
Sorry. I would ridicule you as I'm opening it myself.
Okay.
So go ahead, Dor.
I always wanted awkward silence for a second. Okay. First app I'm going to bring is a utility app. And this is, to me, a utility app that I wish I would have had years ago on Android because I definitely see a use case for it. And I've already used it like two or three times in the last week. It's called Scroll Capture for Web, and it's by Evening Labs. Very simple app. I wish it did one or two things more, though. I will say that. Okay. It is a standalone browser, first and foremost. If you open up your regular browser and then you say share, you will not be able to share it to Scroll Capture. So that's one flaw with it right there. But you open this up, you open up any web page, and then at the bottom you have lens clicker button thing. Spiral, open, close, diaphragm-esque circle thing. Click that, and no matter how long the web page is, it will take one image of the entire page. And I personally think that's semi-genius, semi-archaic, but in some cases, you really do need one solid screenshot to easily, quickly convey something to somebody.
Cool. I'm sorry, what's the name of that app again, Dor?
Scroll Capture for Web.
So how does that work? Well, I guess the whole page is rendered to the browser. So is it a plugin?
No, this is the problem with it. It is a standalone app. And if you are in your default browser and you want to then say, oh, I need a picture of this, you have to copy the URL, close your app or leave your app, open up this app, go into the address bar, hit paste, then go to the page.
That's less than work than stitching together screen grabs, though.
And that's the reason why I still use it. When you hit take a screenshot, if it's hypothetically three full page downs, it will take like 3 or 5 seconds for it to, I'm guessing, you know, take the screenshot, scroll down, take it, stitch it, scroll down, take a screenshot, stitch it. But it does work. And there's only one notification bar, only one address bar. So it isn't, it actually does it correctly. So it's a seamless page.
And when you send it, is it a JPEG?
PDF? When you share it out, I'm 99% sure it was a JPEG. Yeah, it's just one of those simple utilities that I'm kind of shocked you can't, in a web browser built on Android, just say, like, share image of page or save image or something.
You know, apps like this that, you know, you end up finding all of a sudden there's an addition to Chrome that it does something like this when somebody, oh, wow, we never thought about that before. That's neat.
All right, Eric, you're up.
Oh, wait, I got to get the chat open here.
No, okay. So while you're...
I'm just kidding.
You walked in.
Okay. My first app is called Open Link With. I don't have a game here. That's kind of odd. So basically, have you ever had on your Android phone where you tap on something and it is opened with the wrong application? Like, say, you hit a YouTube link and instead of YouTube opening it up, Chrome opens it up or something like that or similar, you know. This is an app that basically, if that's happening to you, instead of going back to your application settings and resetting everything or spending the time and just resetting that certain app's permissions, if you have this app in there, all you do is you share whatever you're trying to open, and then this comes up as a share option, and then you can reset your open with always to it that way. It just sits there in the background for when you need it. You know, it's not something you're going to use every time, but it's an easy way to change your defaults.
Yeah, it's the kind of app that can just speed up that fixing process. So it appears just like a general share. So even if it accidentally opens something up with an imager or an app, as long as there's a share feature in that app, you might be able to fix it right there. That's actually kind of smart, I will say that.
So does that stick between other apps?
Yep, it'll say always do, you know, always open it up this way.
So it's only got less than 5,000 downloads, so between 1,000 and 5,000. So it's either relatively new or relatively unheard of. So you may be bringing a rare gem to the audience.
I think it's new. It's just January 8th.
Well, that was the update.
The update, anyway, yeah.
If I had to put money, it's new only because the screenshot does show the preferred applications listing, which I believe is a Marshmallow, new Marshmallow feature.
Okay. So speaking of new features, my wife's OnePlus One, Dor, you are a former OnePlus One user, got an update last week, and after the update, it said, "Let me introduce you to your new personal assistant, Cortana."
Yay.
So if you don't know about Cortana, it's Microsoft's version of Siri or Google Now. And apparently, well, it's not apparently, there is an Android app version of it. I'll put that in the chat room in case anybody's in any way interested in that. But apparently, the OnePlus people have got some sort of deal going on there, maybe a monetization thing. I don't know what the deal is, but not only have they sort of jumped ship on Android, but now they're courting Microsoft.
Well, I mean, like, you know, maybe that song, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia," maybe something, haven't we? It's a payoff. Microsoft invested something like $4 million in CyanogenMod. And at that time, everyone knew CyanogenMod was going to start to do, you know, Microsoft quote-unquote friendly tactics, which that was the drop-dead last straw as far as I was concerned. That's when CyanogenMod is truly dead to me. I'm not going to install them anymore. And I will say, I'm back on my OnePlus One. Long story short.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you're back. So but you're running Oxygen on it, right?
Oh, yes. I've been running Oxygen literally since February or March of last year. Never regretted it. Never had something I couldn't do or wanted to do and couldn't and wasn't able. But I had to go back to my OnePlus because, as it turns out, my finger was faster than my thirst for knowledge on the Oppo R7 Plus, and the Oppo R7 Plus is incapable of doing LTE speeds inside the US.
Different frequencies, yes. It's not a world band.
No. So, yeah.
So I've been blaming OnePlus for that, but you're right. You just laid the blame at the right place. It's CyanogenMod. OnePlus isn't pushing out those updates. CyanogenMod is.
Well, yeah. Now, if you buy any other OnePlus device, you get Oxygen by default. They said there was no way to push to a device a completely different OS. The only thing they could do was in-place upgrades of the same OS.
So I may be moving my wife to Oxygen OS in the near future. I mean, just having the option for Cortana is not a big deal. Google Now is still there. It didn't replace it, but you know, it's just the first step of scumminess.
I've had Cortana installed for a while, and I've tried it a few times. It's nowhere near Google Now or Siri in the amount of things it does, at least on the Android platform. It just doesn't do a whole lot. It doesn't talk back to you well. I don't know why anybody would use it if Google Now's next to it.
I can tell you, the one guy I know who I still consider a friend, who is very embedded in the Microsoft verse, says the reason he likes Cortana is it's on his desktop, Windows 10 desktop. He has Microsoft family accounts and stuff like that, so they're all linked together. So it's actually connecting information from his Xbox back to his computer. And then when he tried it on the Android device, he said it did kind of, you know, I'm already used to it. I'm already accustomed to it. So it kind of made sense for me. He said, but it is in no shape, way, or form Google Now. You know.
And Google Now wasn't to begin with. Oh. So you got to, and it's not tied into the same thing, right? So the reason Google, at least in my case, the reason Google has so much information is I'm using Gmail, I'm using Google Calendar, I'm using Google Docs. So it's able to, you know, I use Google Maps to get around. So when I get in my car, in fact, you know, I don't even have to get in my car. At the time I leave work every day, it pops up a navigation to home, and all I have to do is tap the button. So if I were using Microsoft stuff in that same way, then it would be better. But I think that's the power of the ecosystem. Cortana is never going to be great on an Android phone because it doesn't have all the other embedded stuff. And you know, it's the same way Google Now is a shadow of what it is on Android on the iPhone platform for that same reason.
Yeah. Period. Even if I did use Microsoft, I can't see me using Cortana. Just, you know,
I've got Windows 10. I've never used Cortana. It sits there. It's down in there in the start menu.
Okay, so we've got a couple of apps. Let me read an email to you, starting with from Todd Evans. It says, "Hey guys, I'd like to share this Wi-Fi manager with you. I recently was looking for an app that may diagnose issues with my connection. There's some type of Wi-Fi sharing social aspect to this app that I haven't investigated. I have only used the connection testing side of things. It was really nice UI and looks very polished. I know looks can be deceiving, so I thought I'd throw this one in Dor's lap and get his 2 cents worth. And it's called Wi-Fi Toolbox. And link forthcoming." No, I'm sorry. I misread that. It's Swift Wi-Fi.
Well,
Wi-Fi Toolbox is the link in the store, but the name of it is Swift Wi-Fi, free shared Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it looks like they changed names at one point in time. This one I immediately knee-jerk reacted and was scared of, and I did not download it yet, strictly because it was called Swift Wi-Fi, free shared Wi-Fi. Excuse me, what do you mean shared Wi-Fi?
Right.
I don't think they are correctly... conveying what they are. And then I look at the first screenshot of the app. Interested in free Wi-Fi? Share your Wi-Fi here and you will get more free Wi-Fi. No.
But it does have some, Todd was pointing out is it has some management tools, speed tests and signal strength and things like that. So even if you don't use the sort of share and share alike features of it, he uses the diagnostic features of it.
Right. And I'll say one of the biggest snake oil statements maybe in any kind of marketing of anything, it says, security is guaranteed. Swift Wi-Fi has been certified by top 100 antivirus software.
Meaning the app itself doesn't have any viruses. That's what that means.
And first off, is there really 100 different antivirus softwares? And really, when you get down to like number 6, is it any good?
Right.
So that kind of worried me and scared a little bit. To me, there are better Wi-Fi analyzer tools out there. I want to say the one I use is called Wi-Fi Analyzer. Super old, super decrepit, hasn't changed.
One of the comments, it says that it won't let it uninstall. That's not good.
That's not good. But yeah, I'll put this link in the show notes. This to me was the one app that first told me how, when, and why an Android device can be more of a utility than a Windows laptop or a Linux laptop. This app was able to tell me very quickly on the fly, dynamically, if I put my device here, do I get better Wi-Fi signal, yes or no? So I could literally tweak the antennas on my router and tweak the placement of the device upstairs and watch instantaneously the signal strength get stronger or weaker. And I could also see, oh, well, if I change my Wi-Fi router to be on channel 1, there's nobody else on channel 1, I should be in the clear. And I literally got like 40% faster Wi-Fi speeds when I loaded this app on my, before the Intel NUC I had upstairs. Oh, on the game stick. And I, you know, moved stuff around. I was really happy. And this app is a nothing fancy app. And there's no word.
I've used this one back when I worked in education. I used this tool to walk around the school and not only find dead spots, but find what novice people setting up hotspots don't often understand is that it's just as bad to have too much signal as it is to have too little. In fact, it's probably even worse.
Yes.
So people will cram, you know, Wi-Fi cheap access points into a small space thinking, well, that should be good enough. what you end up is having them cancel each other out. And I was guilty of that. And this app is one of the tools that helped me visualize. That's literally what it's good for, is visualizing the radiation that's cooking your brain all day, every day. So I would walk around the school with this thing and look at hot spots, look at dead spots, and move things around accordingly. So great tool.
Well, I mean, first off, Mark, it's not cooking. It's just merely stewing your brain. I mean, let's not over-exaggerate
now. That's what you call a distinction without a difference, my friend.
I know, but it sounded good on paper, didn't it, maybe?
Yeah, someday we're going to find out that, all this Wi-Fi technology is the cause of everything. It's not vaccines. It's Wi-Fi. And then we have to make the choice. Do we want to go back to a world without Wi-Fi, or do we want to just die at age 20? I'm thinking I might opt for the dying at age 20 myself.
I've been looking since about 1991 to watch everybody's ear get larger from these cell phones we were holding up to them. It hasn't happened yet. So I think we're all right.
All right. So that's an email. Back to you, Eric.
All right. I got a game for Door. It's called Retro Gears.
Oh, good name.
Yeah. And it is a car racing game that looks, I don't know. It's not super easy to play, but I think it's something you might like. I don't know. Very retro. Looks like you're on some kind of old handset. You got to press a big button to use your acceleration on the right-hand side of the screen. And then you just tap left and right to move your car. Basically, you kind of come up against the back of cars and steal their little treasures that they have on their trailer behind them.
That's cool.
That's about as far as I've gotten. But then every now and then there's a bridge, and you better make sure that you're in the right lane to not miss the bridge.
Okay. I
guess part Spy of the, Hunter, I guess, would be similar.
Part of the interface is the console game. So it's like you're holding a Game Boy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay, yeah. I just started watching the video. And yes, it does have influence from Spy Hunter, no doubt.
Exactly.
I know, but see, I'm afraid, because I really sucked at Spy Hunter. I mean, I loved it, and it took a good amount of my quarters, but when I was young, boy, did I suck at Spy Hunter. Okay, mm-hmm. So here's my question, Eric. The one big button on the right-hand side, that's your accelerator.
Right.
So when you steer, what is it, tilting?
No, you move, either slide your finger or hit to the right or left.
Okay, so if you can hit right to the left, then that tells me that I should be able to configure it for my GPD.
Mark's already got it installed.
Yeah, I'm playing it right now.
Well, I'm going to install it too, trust me, on that GPD device there.
I heard your car start up. That's how I knew.
Yeah. tap the thing to start, and then
yeah, I guess you got to go through some, if I remember right, some training or something.
Right.
As far as
like, this is very Spy Hunter-ish.
Like the big red super... like a spacecraft thing. I never made it that far.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say the good news is, and I forgot to mention this, every app so far this evening we've mentioned is completely FREE, so that's good. And I don't believe this has even... this does have in-app purchases. I'm guessing it's like wheels and tires or something.
Yeah, but they do advertise that right off the bat, all the cars are available for you. You don't have to buy them or anything.
Oh, okay. Stupid question, Mark. No, I guess there is a difference between wheels and tires.
Yes.
I don't know why.
The tires,
yeah, definitely.
The wheel is what holds the tire on.
Yeah.
So you got a nitro button.
Oh, nitro.
And then you get like a power up.
Yeah, you got to steal the power ups from behind the other cars. They're kind of like towing behind them somehow.
Right.
Good find.
And then you.
Thanks.
Linus is how you pronounce the game maker, maybe? Linus?
Yeah, Linus.
I'll be doing this for the rest of the show.
Yeah, well, could be worse.
All right, Dor. What's your next app?
Okay, well, I got to make sure I saw that. Okay, this one I'm going to remember to copy the link to and put it in the chat before I mention it. This is a in-app, completely free game that just caught my attention because I think it's one of those games just beautiful. It's called Space Jet Online Space Games. I can tell you this is just one of those I like eye candy looking games. There was nothing to me that was spectacular about the gameplay. It was just general fun flying around. Third person view behind the ship, fly around, shoot, kill, 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 fly, fly, fly. Almost, dare I say, game style reminiscent of old And yes, I know I'm showing my age here, Descent. But I really did like this game. I just thought it was good, clean, quote-unquote fun.
Yeah, looks like the video is very, very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm the one who always says how blind I am, but I've also noticed I'm also the guy that really gets sucked in by good-looking Android games.
Installing.
Yeah. And I would say I gave it to my oldest son to play, but now since he has a phone for Christmas, all he is doing is watching Minecraft videos on his phone.
YouTube.
Yeah. He now doesn't care at all about Android games on his tablet.
That's all my 13-year-old does with her phone is YouTube.
Has he seen Miranda Sings yet?
Of course not.
Okay. I just wondered. Does it control like a flight simulator, you think, Dor?
No. Flight simulator is real.
I just wonder if it was gamepad. It'd be fun, this game.
Yeah. If you watch the video, the lower corners of the screen, you can see a translucent buttons. One is your joystick, and the other one was thrust and fire. Cool. Yeah, I mean, a really simple, basic controls. It's just the kind of game, honestly, I like. Partially because there's always the radar up in the top corner that makes it at least easier to figure out who's shooting you.
Give me 4 seconds and it'll be installing, I'll tell you, I think.
And it looks like there's random Russian letters that I'm looking at now on the screen. And come on, I mean, who doesn't like Russian letters?
Yeah, the R's are cool.
This popped into my mind. Maybe it's not the appropriate place. Maybe it is. But I'm going to tell you, I'm listening to an audio book right now called Super Mario, How Nintendo Conquered America. And, you know, the retro arcade game there. Made me think of that. I'm really enjoying the book. I'm sure it's available in print if you're one of those people or Kindle, but if you're an Audible person, it's a good book. And so that's my little recommendation. My only complaint about it is that the reader doesn't understand his material, which, you know, that happens. And he'll say things in a way that indicates he didn't understand the sentence he was reading, right? It was gamer speak and he didn't get it. He's just reading the words instead of putting the emphasis where it should go and that sort of thing. But, you know, that happens. But anyway, Super Mario, How Nintendo Conquered America. And if you don't happen to be an Audible subscriber, you can go to elementop.com/audible, get a free book, and I get a little kickback. So
That does happen with readers of the books, which, you know, they can't know everything about everything. I just got done reading one, and I can't remember. It was just a word that was so mispronounced that it's obvious she had no idea what the word even meant.
Yeah. I was listening to one, and I'm not going to call it out, but the reader had obviously mispronounced a word, a major word that said dozens of times throughout the book. And every time he said that word, it was dubbed in with him correcting himself.
You could tell that?
Yeah. And it was, I don't know if everybody could, but, you know, I've been editing audio for 20 years. I heard it every time, and it just made me chuckle.
Yeah. Well, I got to say really quick, because this is how you know Podnuts is not a well-oiled marketing machine. Because we are over half an hour, I think, into this show, and I'll say, oh, yeah, and Mark mentioning audiobooks, that reminds me. We have two new series of shows on podnuts.com. The first one is the Mini PC Show, a show focused on any and everything from Raspberry Pi or smaller size computing devices up to Intel NUX, Zotac Z boxes, or quite literally like 5x5 inch near supercomputer type power computers. Run the whole gambit. And I'm going to publicly say this for the first time, I think, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That show is going to make me get a 3D printer in order to do some projects for that show. I said it. And the second show is Book Nuts, which is a audiobook review show hosted by Tracy Holtz and Jonathan Nadeau, two of the nicest guys in the universe. And if you have a problem with either one of those guys, please do not email me ever, because I will not like you. But I forgot to mention, on the Mini PC Show, it's myself, yours truly, Eric Ardini, here, and a new member of the Podnuts family, Brian, I can't remember if he wants me to say his last name. So Brian is on that show.
Yeah.
And we could check those out at podnuts.com.
Podnuts.com is the easiest place to find them. Or if you just follow podnuts.com or twitter.com/podnuts, every show that gets posted goes there.
All right. Cool stuff. Let's see. I think it's my turn to do an email. I lost track.
Sure. Yes.
Sure.
We already have an I Want a Free Phone.
I know.
Yay.
I wasn't sure if it was cool to say it or not. That was quick. That was really quick, I'm pretty sure. That was
26 minutes ago. I just hadn't checked that. So
he did it twice, in fact. 27
I know,
and 26.
To make sure. Yeah. So first name is safe. Andrew, send us your email address or your physical address. We'll need that.
The second email does have the address, and he is in the U.S.
Wow, he's planning ahead. What a winner. Good job, Andrew.
Gave us his mobile number, his Google Plus number. Our Google Voice number, rather.
We'll try not to call you while you're on a date, but we might.
That's awesome.
Right. But all right. I love the fact that on the bottom of his email, K semicolon space M equals mobile, comma, G equals G voice, comma, K equals key. I love the fact that he also tells you the K stands for key. That is gold.
Recursive. Yes. It's awesome.
That is awesome, Andrew. Thank you. That made my night.
GNU's not Unix. Wine is not an emulator. And K equals key.
Right.
All right, moving on to our next email. Infant Marsupial, a.k.a. Joey, wants to know what Dor thinks of the NVIDIA Shield Tablet 2. He says, I'll keep this short. What do you guys think of the NVIDIA Shield Tablet 2? At $200, $200 bucks, it seems to be a really sweet deal. Excellent show. Keep up the great work.
I don't believe it's out yet, number one. Here's the whole thing. I'm a big fan of bang for the buck. Okay. This isn't, I despise the fact that it is a standalone tablet with little speakers on the side front facing. That's cool, but it's a standalone tablet. And then if you want to play games, you have a handheld game pad. No, I despise it. I think that's stupid. Who wants to carry around more items? Okay. And if you want a tablet to use as a tablet, then you typically get a tablet. Yes, you guessed
it. I need to argue that because I've got a 10-inch tablet and I fold it back with its keyboard either like this in a laptop way, or I fold it back the other way in a whatever that is. and I love to sit there with my gamepad and play Cruising Horizon game is on the tablet, and it's sitting like 10 inches from my face on my chest while I'm laying down.
Yeah.
It's like I'm playing on a 70-inch screen, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're playing like that, you might as well have a game console. The reason to have something like this is because it's portable. This is not a 10-inch tablet. This is definitely a smaller tablet than that. I'll just say bang for the buck. I know for a fact the GPD is less than 160, 170 bucks. Extremely portable. Has ran nearly everything I've tried to run good. What I don't have on there is, of course, the real quote-unquote games like Portal, which this tablet probably will have and probably will run really nice. So my logic is, if you are a hardcore gamer, if you like yourself some really real, real, real games, then you almost have to get something like this. But for casual gaming, I think this might not be a good carry-anywhere portable gaming device.
So I'm looking at it right now. I'm on the store, shield.nvidia.com. The tablet is $199.99. The kickstand cover that makes you able to stand it up is $39.99. The controller is $59.99.
So $300.
Yeah.
Now, see, I really find I could get two GPDs for that price.
Very scant on the details.
I've noticed that too.
Not telling me what kind of processor it has in it, not telling me even the size of the screen. Right? You said you didn't know? I don't know either.
It's an 8-inch screen.
Here's a full specs tab. Let
me it's an 8-inch okay. screen.
NVIDIA Tegra K1, 192, 2.2 gig, 8-inch display at 1920 by 1200, 4K Ultra HD ready, which means it'll upsample. Right. What won't? Front spacing speakers, 16 gigs of storage, not great. 802.11 Wi-Fi. What doesn't have that?
How many gigs of RAM did it have? Does
two.
It's a very nice. I'm sure the screen's beautiful. I don't have that good of a screen on mine.
And for some reason, they will not tell you how big the battery is. They will tell you 19.5 watt hours.
Dual dual 5-megapixel front and back cameras. 12.6 ounces, so it's a fairly lightweight.
Yeah, I mean, if I could get the whole thing, because I'm sure it's a good gamepad too, I will say that. I'm sure this is a very good gamepad. If I could get the whole thing, the tablet itself, the kickstand, and the controller for around $200, I would be very tempted to look at this for a big present for my child, because honestly, they're doing right now both fantastic in school, but not for $300.
When you could get a PS4 for this.
Yeah. I'll say it ain't for door.
But remember that my first podcast I ever did was called the Tightwad Tech. This show is not, the tablet is not Tightwad approved. Okay, Eric, your turn.
I may have seemed distracted the entire night, but it's just because I'm trying to find my next app anywhere on the interwebs and I can't find it. I've got it installed on my phone. Basically, you know, Dor, how you were talking last week, where there's a way to get to all the apps without having to see any games on your yes. Play Store. Mm-hmm. I found an app and it's just called Apps, which basically you hit that and it takes you right to there.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a shortcut just straight to just the apps.
It's an app.
But it's an app called Apps. So when I go into my device manager, I'm like, well, maybe I can find the developer of it, you know, or something.
Okay. Wait, are you ready?
Okay.
You're in your apps. Can you find the app?
Yes.
Okay. Tap it once, and then what you're really looking for is, I want to say it's a com dot something, like a almost like a. Oh man, I don't see it there.
Web address.
Yeah, I don't see it there. Where are you? Where can you get that name at?
Well, if I go to app info, I see nothing there.
Yeah, no, it's not app really. Info. Man,
I know it's version 1.4.0.
Okay. What you need is an app that I brought a long time ago called App Dragon. You load App Dragon, then you can literally copy, paste, share out, and you'll see the full name right there in the interface, which that might help us find the app.
Okay, so you go ahead
Are you saying that App Dragon will help you share paid for apps?
No. It'll help you share names and web URLs of paid apps. Okay.
Just want to be clear on that.
Oh, and I love AppDragon. AppDragon is the shizzle, maybe is the right terminology.
That's
the
shizzle. Yeah, shizzle.
Shizzle. Okay.
I will. I will install AppDragon, and I will drag and drop it over to that, and hopefully I can figure this out by the time you're done with your next app.
Okay. Okay. Well, then mine has the URL of com.wb.goog.llotr, which of course everyone knows means Lego Lord of the Rings. This is a $5 game with no video. Now, Eric knows what that means. If it's a $5 game with no video, let me tell you something, people. This game was a full-fledged Lego game. I gave it to my youngest one of the GPD, and he sucked horribly at it, which was just proof to me that it was like a real video game. So I played it for like 20, 30 minutes, and it was just like I remember Lego Star Wars, Lego Batman on the full console system. So this was a real, quote-unquote, good game. $5 for the amount of stuff you can get out of this, amount of time you can invest into this, I think was, dare I say, worth the money. This is the kind of game, if I break my leg and I'm at home from work for a while, I can definitely lose myself in this game and beat it. And it just looks to me good. It looks like Legos should look.
Are they ever going to not bring out a new game every week for you to bring to the show yet?
No, and that's one of the messages I want to make clear. Arnold is advertising mobile games. Why? Because that's where the money's at. And companies like Lego are doing everything they can to be a top developer like they're rated here, but they always try to stay relevant and to be very honest. If you just like playing games, I guarantee you they have at least one game among their many, many games that you'll play and you'll like.
I mean, they're all attempting to recapture Legends of Zelda. That, you know, in a various skin, they're all that same kind of quest the map, hit somebody, you know.
Find the hidden stuff.
It worked in 1989, you know, it still works today.
No. Original Legend of Zelda had to be before that. It had to be like 82, maybe. What year? Well, you just watched the Mario thing. What year was Mario?
Well, it depends on which version, right? So,
Door, you came through. I'm just saying.
I know I did.
If only there were some mythical? Maybe some encyclopedia, maybe some user editable, maybe a wiki.
No.
We should do that.
Well, first off, I don't know what you mean by this word wiki. I've never heard of such a thing. And what you say sounds like voodoo or some kind of mad science there, Mark.
So it started in 1986, first released in Japan, February 21st, 1986, came to the U.S. August 22nd, 1987. So
you were hell of a lot
I wasn't too far.
Oh, you were a hell of a lot closer than me. You know, I guess I truly am just immature. I don't know.
And then I think there was Link to the Past that came a little later, and then Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time was in
April 2000.
Yeah, I lost a lot of time in Ocarina of Time.
He won't mind me telling on him. Seth, co-host of the Geek Rant podcast. Didn't live with me, but was in my house often enough that he might as well have. And so there were six guys that lived in this house, seven if you count Seth. And one day we left. It's like a Saturday morning, and we all had things to do. And we left at like, 10 o'clock in the morning. All six of us went and did our own thing. We came back midnight, 11 o'clock. Seth is still sitting on the couch playing Zelda. He'd been playing Legend of Zelda all day. All day. And I never... Again, I'm sorry, I'm going to lose geek cred. Never played the game.
Oh, you don't have to.
But I've watched him play it lots and lots.
Yeah, I played it enough to know that I wasn't good at it and gave up like every other game I've tried.
I beat it. And I distinctly remember my now sister-in-law, who was of drinking age. Okay, I remember going over to her father's house, and she was a quote-unquote little girl playing Zelda and couldn't beat the first boss. And I'm sitting there playing poker with Dad, and she comes in complaining. She, "It's too hard, it's too hard, it's too hard." And I look past, and I see Golem, the queen spider. And she looks at me and says, "You know Zelda?" She was like 13, 14, something like that. And I said, "Why, yes, I do." "Well, how do I beat this freaking guy?" And I said, "It's really easy. When he looks down, you take the slingshot, you hit him in the eye. When they fall down, take the sword to him." Came back like 5 minutes later, "Dad, this guy is a genius."
Yeah. You made a friend for life.
I did, and she's now well past her drinking age, and she still considers me one of the smarter people she knows. God bless her heart. I'll say that. And I'm the guy who has watched Ocarina of Time Zero Glitch speed runs on YouTube, which are multiple hours, like 4+ hour events. And I think to myself, self, one of these days, could I take off work, and when people leave, could I start playing Zelda and actually have it beat by the time they come home from work? And I've entertained that idea. And I know, no, I can't. I can't.
I bet you can.
Well, I'm tempted to try.
I bet if you did take the day off work, you could have it beat.
Yeah, maybe if I did a Kickstarter. Maybe. No, I don't know.
For starters, the 40-year-old bladder doesn't last as long as the 20-year-old does. Mm-hmm. So there's a problem.
Or the reflexes or the patience. Because back then I had the drop-dead passion to figure this out and do it. And I had the timing, I had the reflexes, I had the nuances of the characters down to know exactly when to hit this button and hit with the sword, where I'm sure if I turn it on now, it's get the crap. Yeah, that might be me.
See, I just lost a bunch of cred. I typed in Ocarina of Time and I started with an A. So that's where I stand.
I'm not commenting anywhere, Eric.
All right. If I'm up on my thing, that was Link. Now it's time for an email. And this one comes from Jeff. That's all he put in there. Just Jeff. Okay. So Jeff says that I was a big Star Trek fan growing up, Next Generation, DS9, and Voyager. Never got into DS9. I'm not sure if you've done this one yet, but it's Renegade's Elkar's theme for Total Launcher. This is absolutely amazing. The amount of detail and thought the developer put into this is incredible. They also have themes for the new Star Trek movies, if you're into that. I think this will actually be a launcher that I can stick with for quite some time. Also, keep up the great work, and thanks for bringing me so many apps. So he's got two links for Total Launcher and the Elkar's theme. P.S. I would have sent this email directly to AAA, but I'm unable to find the email address on the website. Dory, you might want to talk to your webmaster about that.
Well, I mean, he did just say most of it. AAA.
That's right.
I mean, and yes, I know. I will. I swear. It's only a matter of time. Just please, Jeff, whatever you do, don't hold your breath. But it will be there.
What's the email address? AAA at podnuts.com?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's easy enough.
It is. And I will say, Mark, I will admit to you, I did like Deep Space Nine. And it was not because of Benjamin Sisko, because it turns out he is crazy. But it had to be with the shape-shifting guy from Benson.
Odo.
He got me.
René Auberjonois.
Exactly. He just got me. His dramatic acting, to be honest, it was almost like Data in a sense, and it just made me watch. But most of the things about the other show was quite hard to stomach through. Except for, of course, the Ferengi. I mean, you gotta love Ferengi. This theme is not Elkars. This theme is like ultra Elkars. This is Elkars extreme enough for me to install it. Yes, you're right, Mark.
I don't know what I'm looking at here. There's all kinds of crazy lines and stuff. This looks exactly like what I would think Doors Phone would look like.
Well, see, my real goal is to have my phone looking such a way that when my wife touches it, she says, "I don't know what to do," and just hands it back to me.
Let's put it back down.
Yes, that's my real goal. So now what I'm seeing here is,
speaking of that, door.
Okay, hold on. The Renegades-Elkars theme is free, no in-app purchases, and the Total Launcher looks free and no in-app purchases. So that's even better, dare I say.
So just in case you're not the utter geek that I am, Elkars stands for Library Catalog Access Retrieval System, and it was the fancy computer interface that you always saw with the primary colored lines and squares on Star Trek The Next Generation.
I know, but now if you could just change your, oh gosh, Google statement to computer, then it would actually make sense.
I so tried that with my Moto X, and it said, that's not long enough. It's not unique enough. But I really just wanted to say computer and have it do its thing.
Okay, that is a pet peeve of mine. I will not lie. Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to install this.
Eric, one more. Got one more left?
I want to give a follow-up. Dor, you brought the KLWP theme last week.
Oh, yeah. That was the crazy magazine-esque theme.
Yeah, so I tried to install it after the show, and you know, I think I was telling you I was having troubles, and I'm like, because I paid for this theme and I paid for something else to make it work, and whatever, I just needed to spend a little bit of time and just read or follow directions. It works great, and I loved it because yesterday I went to the U.S. Cellular store, my SIM card was messing up. I'm like, well, let me see your phone, and then he's like standing there, and I'm like, all right, sure. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And the manager, he's just like standing there. He's kept looking at it and flumming through and going back and forth. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm that guy. I just made, because this theme totally, there's nothing stock about this except for swiping from the top. That's the only thing he could really manage to do on my phone, I think. But it is a cool theme. I mean, once you get used to it, it's really super, super good. But there's just random stuff like your battery. Basically, like I've got a red 27, like, three-quarters of the way up, or one-third of the way up from the bottom of my phone. I know that that's because my battery's, well, now it says 26. Is it 26%? Running on the edge, by the way. But yeah, it's just very stylish, and I like it. Thank you for bringing that one.
No problem. Did you find that other app?
I did, and I'll put it back in the chat here again. So it's called Apps, and it's by Jeffrey Serra, and it's called Apps Play Store Link. And it basically says, explore the Play Store's most popular apps in just one click. Navigate away from all the games you weren't even looking for. Exclusive access to the Play Store's top charts for apps. So it's just a super easy shortcut to get right to what Dor was talking about last week. Okay. And I suppose, if you want to give a device to a kid and you don't want them to have any games on it, you could make this one super obvious for them to use to get their apps and maybe hide the Play Store icon somehow and have them go to this instead. Or a business phone? I don't know.
Shouldn't be hard. A lot of launchers do have the ability to basically tap and hold and say hide. So that should be good. So let me take a peek at this. Yeah, it's just called Apps-Play Store Link by Jeffrey Serra, S-E-R-A. E for everyone, knowing that purchases it, explore with that. Yeah. So there is a way then apparently to get to it, maybe in your Play Store.
Enjoy our link to this app, because if you try to search for apps on the Google Play Store, you'll never find this.
Huh. Yeah, one of the comments says, ironically, the app that hides apps, I couldn't find the app.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's impossible. And even a Google search, trying to figure out the query to say an app that...
then you have this app installed. I'm going to ask you to open it up.
Yes. Okay.
Go to one of your tabs and tell me which one you're at. Top free, top paid, top grossing, yada, 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 yada.
Okay. Top free.
Okay. Top free. What do you have at the top?
Messenger, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Pandora.
Okay. Because I have
two of those are disabled.
Candy Crush, number one, then Messenger, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Piano, Pandora, Netflix, Google Photos, Wish, and then there's another game, Pocket Morty's. So I'm surprised that I could have swore I used to see more games than this.
But yeah, I'm scrolling through and there's no games.
Okay, well then I'm installing that app, period. Just because I like to once in a while go on the hunt, old school style, and just look for apps.
Hey, one more app I want to throw out there, and I don't know if this is premature, Mark Cockerell, but at what point is the Zcast app going to become the official podcasting app for the Android App Addict show?
As soon as it's in the store. Okay. It's just not there yet.
I agree.
I should bring this stuff up off the show, but I was using it the other day and I so wanted, once you start leaving comments on podcasts, you don't want that to not happen. So I was listening to the Geeksters, and they were razzing Mitch about the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. Yeah. And I so much wanted to leave a comment, but I couldn't. And yeah, once you get that, it's a very wanted feature.
Yeah, I talked to Kaiser about that just this week, actually. There's a couple of UI things. You know, currently the landscape UI is just broken entirely. We want to be able to import and export your feeds. Currently you can't just type in a feed and have it add. So there's a couple of things like that we consider basic functionality to be able to put it in the store, but it's really close. And like you're seeing, you can use it now all day, every day, and it's stable. And, you know, it does what it does, and it does it well. The things that are broken are the trim, you know, the wood grain needs to be polished. The engine's fine.
One other suggestion, I'll just throw this in there. You should be able to switch between the Apple iTunes podcast listing chart of their most popular or whatever search engine they use, and maybe if he could develop his own based only on the users of that app, because I still, if I type in Android, there's a bunch of ones that have, but and it's Apple's fault, it's not yours. There's a bunch of apps of podcasts that haven't ever released anything since like 2012 that come up way before any new content.
Yeah, so what it would be great if is we need a checkbox that says show only comment enabled feeds.
Yeah, or most popular on Zcast rather than most popular on Apple. I don't know how. I mean, I'm just sure that's a great idea, Eric. Go ahead and
implement that.
Write that code for us, and we'll throw it in there.
Yeah, I'll say, of course, on the air, just like Eric, Mark, please feel free to tell him to make every Podnut show commentable thing. You know what I mean? But I'm serious. The only thing that is making me scared to make this my daily driver is there is no simple way that I saw to do any kind of backup or bulk import. Because I've already had to use that feature in the last 3 weeks alone twice, and I cannot sit there and add 80 feeds one at a time.
Right. And in this early stage, every time a new one comes out, he says, clear your data, clear your cache.
Right.
So you don't want to do that when you're a beta tester. So those are the reasons we're keeping it out of the store for now, but it's real close.
Right. And I'm going to tell people right now, it is going to be written in stone. The hammer will come down. The iron fist will come down. Every single comment in this app will be given priority on every Podnut show, period. Because it's just a nice way to communicate. And everyone else can see the feedback. It's just, to me, a no-brainer.
And if they don't know what we're talking about, it's similar to SoundCloud as far as leaving comments about what you're hearing right then.
Yeah, it's like half.
Only I had the idea years ago.
Only Mark came up with it first. Yes.
That's the important thing, that I was right and everybody else was wrong.
I wouldn't say wrong, just inadequate, Mark. Does that make you feel better?
I've been dreaming of the word inadequate never makes any man feel better. I've been dreaming of this app for years and opining about it since like 2010. And finally, a developer stepped up and said, I think I can do that. And so It's, you know, I've been very careful about the care and feeding of my developer here because I can't do it. And if he gets mad at me or decides he doesn't have time to do it, then my dream dies. So there's a problem there.
Yeah.
Okay. One last app, Mr. Door-to-Door Geek.
Okay. Let me just do a quick control and tab through a couple of these, and I'm going to, not randomly, but semi-purposefully, I'm going to pick this one. It does have in-app purchases, so it ain't perfect, I'll say. But it is a game, extremely pixelated game, called Super Bit Adventure. Third Panache Games role-playing, everyone 10 and up, in-app purchases, free to install. It's one of those old dungeon crawler-esque games, but, you know, modern, pixelated stuff. Just good, clean, hard to see, blocky, killing things fun.
It's Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
It is, but with a vignette around the screen so that you can't see what's coming up around the corners.
Yeah. You have like the torch view to where the edges of the screen are complete black.
And it's, you know, it's one of those things that it's amazing that the games that we grew up on looked like this because the developers didn't have any other choice. They were squeezing every electron they could get out of their hardware. And now we have freaking quad-core supercomputers, and we're going back to the 8-bit style because we all grew up on it and love it.
Yeah.
There's a whole hipster irony in there. It's just great.
And there was one of the postings I saw on one of my old retro sites. The numbers I'm going to get completely wrong. Okay. Something to the effect of the entire Super Mario Brothers cart was 20 kilobits. But one screen of Mario displayed 200 kilobits of information. And it was because of their crafty ability to reuse assets on the screen. And we all know this because like all the clouds looked exactly the same. Every block was just like the other block, you know, down the line. So there was actually a minimal number of assets they had to pull from. They just showed it a lot of different times. And today we just, I'm sure if a developer from back then saw the lack of efficiency that we use today, they would literally go around with a bat and just start beating up developers.
If you went to Shigeru Miyamoto in 1980 and showed him, your 1+1, he would weep tears of ecstasy.
Yeah.
And we can certainly Mario would have consisted of more than 15 pixels or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And then people might have actually been happy that Samus was a woman.
So why be efficient if you don't in any way need to be?
Well, why? Because then it will run stellar. It will run unbelievably better, less code, less bloaty. Honestly, also easier to maintain as time goes on. It's just more work up front because you got to do things in an efficient manner. I do have a feeling some things are going to start going back towards that gradually, at least, because when you get to, dare I say, the IoT, Internet of Things, or Internet of Targets, some people call it, strategy, you have super low-end hardware, which means your code is going to have to be very efficient. We also have this whole open source movement going where you have big, prominent companies putting money to making open source boards and chips. So they can program directly on that instead of having to write to an operating system and load actual program code, just because efficiency in that realm means unbelievably cheaper boards and less buggy or vulnerable code, in theory.
I see it. I see that. I speak.
Yeah, it's kind of a cyclical thing. I'm a bit of a student of history, and this happens all the time. The skills are lost because they're no longer needed, and then we find out that they're needed again. And right now, nobody has the skill to code efficiently because we're not taught it. Everybody uses an IDE that writes the code for them. No, you know, the people who can write an assembler anymore, you can count on, you know, one hand. But there's going to come a time when we're going to need those guys again, and we're not going to have them. So the history, humanity is constantly relearning that which it allowed itself to forget.
Exactly.
The theory. Yeah, that's true, though.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, I'm ranting. The ancient Egyptians in building some of their structures, not the pyramids in particular, but some of the larger structures, used essentially a staple where they would cut a groove in two pieces of the rock. So think of like a dog bone. So there's a perpendicular groove and two sides of the rock and then a horizontal groove connecting them. They would pour molten metal into that. As the metal cooled, it would bring the two pieces of rock together. Okay. So this is 3,000-ish years ago. No, more than that. Like, 5 or 6,000 years ago that they're doing this. And that requires a portable smelter, for example. They've got to be able to mine the ore. They've got to be able to process it into metal. They've got to be able to melt it. They've got to be able to pour it into that. They've got to be able to manage it so that it doesn't crack and break. We couldn't do that in the industrialized world until like 1921. And they were doing it in, you know, 5,000 BC. But that knowledge was lost somewhere along the way.
For the exact same reason, because they had to.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we learned how to pour concrete, and we didn't need to anymore.
And we got lazy. You know, all we got to do is put some rebar in there, and we're fine, man.
Yeah.
Okay, one last bit of email. This is, well, first off, I just want to say thanks to Tom Zach for his Patreon pledge. We don't want that to go uncommented on. 5 days ago, he made a pledge. We thank you for that.
Nice.
Mr. Zach.
Tom's one of those guys. The apps and the support alone in Google Plus is stellar.
Oh, he's always finding apps for us. Yeah. Awesome.
If this was Dumbledore, he would be Snape or Hogwarts, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever that British kid with the scar thingy, you know.
All right. And Jay Gabriel wants to know if we're going to do a Chromecast-centric show. So we're not going to answer that right now, but maybe we'll answer it in a future show. He says, hey guys, love the show. Now that everyone got a Chromecast for Christmas, are you guys planning on doing a cast-centric show? If so, we heard of a great Pictionary-style game for Chromecast called Cast a Draw. And by heard, I mean we made it. And by we, I mean just me. Keep up the good work. Cheers. So castadraw.com, Jay Gabriel, listens to the show and made the app. So he's a great guy in two ways.
You know, and Jake Gabriel, I said I was going to play this, and I totally forgot. And thank you for reminding me, Mark. It is being installed right now.
I didn't say I was going to play this because I rarely have control over my own television, but I'm very sorry. Tonight I have to watch Die Hard.
That's the great thing about Chromecast. You don't even have to be in the room, and suddenly you have control over the television.
Well, I know, but first of all, she has to use it.
No.
I want to do a Chromecast-centric show. But I despise the fact that when I go in and click on apps, there's no way for me to say, only show me Chromecast apps.
I know. You're right. Right.
Well, there's no way for me to click and see gamepad compatible games. Two gripes that make me really mad.
Yes. Yes. When Jeff Sarah hears you say this, who made the apps, the Play Store Link app, he will come out with a new app called Apps Chromecast and Apps Gamepad.
I've seen other apps try to fill those two niches, but they're always hand manicured. Yes. I think is the right word.
Yes.
Hand massaged.
Right. Yeah.
And they never are accurate or ever kept up to date for any length of time because it's too much like work because it's work. So Google, I think, has to support that. And then, to be honest, I think we will see it's one of those things, chicken egg. If Google would enable you to see in one list Chromecast capable apps, I think you'd have more people creating Chromecast apps.
Yeah, VR apps too, and gamepad,
cardboard apps. Yes. Yeah.
I have a question for Jay Gabriel, and he can respond to it later. I have a Roku that I can cast to. Can I use this, or must it be an actual Chromecast?
You would think the Roku would work because I've done apps like that before upstairs in my wife's room, which you got. Well, our room. I call it the wife's room because you know she owns everything. I could swear it worked. Huh.
Not everything does. I can cast some things, but not others.
Gotcha. So. Well, and the one thing I got to say before I forget, the app developers out there, happily, I will happily, happily, happily pay you money for this app. An app that just runs Resident in the background of my phone, and every time I copy a URL, it will sanitize the URL and get rid of all the crap at the end of the URL that other people or sites put there so they get credit for links, if you will, or just, you know, anything after .htm, just get rid of it because I hate pasting links into anything, emails even on my desktop computer and having that crap at the end of a URL because I know it's unneeded, it's unnecessary. The damn link's going to work without it. And even these apps, every time Eric or anybody else puts an app in the listing and it has the ampersand HL equals EN at the end, I go a little bit cuckoo. That it's OCD for you people. It freaks me out. It's unnecessary. It's unneeded. And what if a guy who's Taiwanese likes our show and clicks the link? He's going to get an English link.
Right.
That's not cool.
I have one more, since we're talking Chromecast, one more dig. So Comcast raised my rates on all these little cable boxes for $1 each. Just out, you know, for no reason. They didn't add any features to them or anything. They just decided, the things you weren't renting before that we forced you to rent, we're going to now raise the price on them. So I called and complained and they're like, well, okay, well, we'll drop your price $20 and we'll give you free HBO for a year. You know, here you go, boy. Mm. Go have fun. So, okay, I'm like, yeah, thank you for the free HBO. Okay, the free HBO doesn't work on any TV except for one. But then I'm like, oh, I get the HBO Go, though, right? So that's so cool. That app doesn't Chromecast. Shame on you, HBO.
No, that's purpose. Because if you want to Chromecast,
because it's Go.
They want you to get HBO Now.
Yeah.
Which costs more money.
No. I'll probably never watch anything on HBO. But my overall price is lower, so I don't care.
Okay, so let's wrap it up there before we get into whining about, you know, Showtime or Cinemax.
I've got lint.
Well, I'll just finish it with Cast a Draw. I swear, Jay Gabriel, because I don't see a name, I will put this in front of my children because I like making my children happy. So I'll try.
It looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The only thing you buy is words. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so you... it doesn't. I don't have the app installed, so I can't tell you how much it costs. But you pay. You don't have to pay for the app. You get certain. You get a base pack of words for free. That you know, they're words that pop up on the screen, and then you draw that thing to get people to guess those words. And so then, when you've run through them all, you buy more. I think that's a great model. He promises no ads and no tracking, none of that stuff.
Yeah. If I was a social person, then I, you know, might like playing this game.
If you had people that loved you?
That too.
Okay. So this is the time where I'm going to say we're done. Thank you for hanging out with us. Dor, what do you want to plug? What one link do you want people to click above anything else on the internet for you this week?
ElementOP.com and check out Geek Rant, because to be quite honest, good people, good content. And I know the content's only going to keep getting better because you're in a new realm, Mark, and it's just going to keep growing and getting better. So congratulations on the rebrand. Congratulations on having Chris come out of hiding. And, you know, congratulations on having Seth as a friend, I guess. Yeah.
So what I did was I started the can opener. He just came running.
Ah,
who knew?
Wow. I got to write that one down.
Since you plugged me, I'll have to plug you. Go to Android App Addicts. Use their link. PodNuts. Use the podnuts.com/Amazon link to buy your Amazon stuff. PodNuts.com/eBay. I think Netsdoor bought 0.18 of a cent a year. So, you know, you can use that if you want to. But, Patreon. Look up Android App Addicts on Patreon and, give the guy what you think he's worth. That should be more than you could afford. That's Powerball lottery money right there. This is one of the good guys on the internet.
It is, but I can't figure out, Mark. I keep thinking I want to give them something in return if we hit a limit like other people do, and I can't think of anything because I give people everything.
Well, don't try mailing laser pens. I can tell you that's not going to work for you.
droning them. I can drone them.
There you go. Mark, I tried to get somebody tried to send me a pen in the mail today, and honestly, there was a hole in the bottom of the envelope. I got an empty envelope that said, hey, if you'd like this pen, there's so much, for $100 or whatever. And I never even got to see it. So yes, shipping pens is difficult, even for the professionals who are trying to make a business of it. And and since you guys plugged each other, I'm just going to plug myself, and I got nothing to plug, so. Go check out
media.com, the best internet, the website on the internet, best website on the internet.
That is the most popular redirect on the internet. Yes. And it's going to be something someday. I bought themes. Well, there's WordPress themes waiting to be hosted out there.
Right. How about we plug return the favor of go check out Android Buffet. Even though they don't listen to us, they at least once every 80 shows mention us.
Hey, I do want to put a plug out there. I need somebody to redesign my website. And I'm willing to pay you for it. I'm not begging for free service. So anybody does that, contact me, mark@elementop.com, and we'll talk. Very cool. That's it. I'm going to call it right there. The show is over. No more show for you. Come back 7 days. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.